In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let us continue the services, and I will read the Word of God from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7, from verse 36 to the end of the chapter. And the words are in Jesus' name. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat with the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, and spake with himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered, said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and spoke unto the Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Amen. Jesus had been invited for a meal in the house of a Pharisee. Luke tells of this earlier, how Jesus had been invited into the house of a publican, the toll customs agent, for a meal. This meal invitation was a sign of a great hospitality and friendship. A little earlier in the same chapter, Jesus says how John the Baptist had come. He does not eat bread or drink wine. You say that there is a bad spirit in him. The Son of Man has come. He eats and drinks. You say, what a eater, what a drinker. A friend of the publicans and sinners. Jesus did deny this invitation. Reject this cancellation. He did not reject this invitation. Whoever was called, whether a publican or a customs agent or a Pharisee, Jesus always accepted the invitation. This gospel brings forth a lady, a woman, and a man. A woman with a bad reputation. A respected, highly valued Pharisee. It seems to be, if we use the words of today, there is a crony system here. There is a group eating. Usually there's only men. Women had no business there. Something very strange had happened here. Something very unusual. There in the midst of men, there was a woman. To understand this message, we can look at the past, put some light. If we look at the interior decoration of this room, there were no tables like today. Tables were lower. There were three tables in the U shape, and the eating would occur. You would lay down on your side, and you were served in the U-shaped form of the table. They were in the house of the Pharisee. Maybe Jesus had been teaching in a synagogue, and the Pharisee, out of politeness, had invited him over. We have heard this of the Pharisee much from the Bible. What kind of image do you have of a Pharisee? Perhaps you may think, a child may say, they are self-righteous, perhaps self-righteous or hypocrites. And that is what Jesus spoke of. Jesus tells us, the seat of Moses is in the control of Pharisees and scribes today. He reminds them, do as they say and follow their teaching. Jesus didn't say, don't listen to the Pharisees. Jesus continues and says, but do not obey their teachings. They teach one thing and act in another way. They put on burdens and they give them for people to carry. And they do not want to move them with their fingers. The Pharisees were a religious group of the Jews, a layman's group. Lower clergy were also involved, possibly an opposition party for the Sadducees of the upper priesthood. they encouraged following the law and to follow traditions, the rules of the fathers. The law was applied in all forms of life, all areas of life. In their own regulations, they denied false holiness. They said, in no way can you be a hypocrite. And they were serious about this. When we think of this Pharisee movement, hypocrisy, is it found in our time? Perhaps I would have a temptation here to point my finger at other groups, at the church, and other denominations and other faith religions. That's where the Pharisees are. Surely it is so. But do I dare, touched by this gospel, can I look closer? Are there any Pharisees in our midst, hypocrites, merciless, hard-heartedness? Can I look even a step closer in you or I? Can it be found in me? That is what this gospel here points at. How is the Pharisee seen in this, viewed in this story? The Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw what the woman did. If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. This is a sinful woman. The Pharisee was amazed or worried. Stories and rumors had traveled in the village that she is such a woman, a prostitute. Stay away from her. Don't let her come near. Is there something familiar? Don't we so easily get into a situation where we are speak of big words and we look at some people and avoiding strangers or avoiding some certain people? When a person or someone comes to talk to us, have you heard of this person who has done this or hasn't done this? How do you act? The temptation to evaluate other people's deeds, the temptation to measure sins, small and large. In such a discussion, when somebody has told us a great story, juicy story, have we stopped and asked, have you talked to him directly? Why do you come talk to me? Have you talked directly with him? This is what the Gospel of Matthew in the 18th chapter teaches us. The church law of Christ. We don't want to spread rumors. We could say, I am worried about him. We carry his burdens. It has a tone of love, but nevertheless, if we circulate care of our friend, of our brother or sister, this kind of story, and if we do not go to him directly, if we don't ask what kind of burden our friend has in their travel, if we listen to rumors, the Word of God, the commandments, remind us, children of God, do not bear false witness of your neighbor. Jesus himself said very directly, touchingly, how can you see and why beholdest thou mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say in thy brother, let me pull out thy mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eyes. This word of God goes directly at us. Whom of us, none of us, are outside of this word. In the gospel, in the central theme, is the greeting and leaving others without a greeting. There are many habits, culture, area, regional, historical, customary customs, but in greeting one another, it is important is to notice, recognize the other person. The servant's or the slave's job was to wash the guest's feet. A kiss to the cheek, or to a very respected guest, a kiss to the hand, or to anoint the head with olive oil of respected guest was also important. Our custom is to greet the hand suitable in our culture. Hugging is more common. Nodding your head. Saying hi. Whatever is used. How did this woman with a bad reputation behave? Regardless of the way people viewed her and seen her, this woman came behind Jesus, came and wept. What does this weeping mean or tell us? We can think that it was the tears of regret, remorse, Perhaps there was the joy, tears of joy, that she was. She had seen and heard Jesus speaking, and she had believed. Here is her Savior and Master and her Lord. Here is the Lord and Master who will not chase her away. So many had chased her away. So many had shown the rejecting hand. If you change your life, you can have your sins forgiven. How did Jesus act? How did the Lord act? Totally different way. If we would change our life first, and then we would have our sins forgiven. This is from person, from the requirements of a person, and from a person-centered faith. The woman wept. His feet were wet with the tears. She dried them with her hair, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with alabaster ointment. From faith came love. Simon had not shown any kind of respect for the guest. We can imagine that when we come, if we are invited to be a guest into a house, we come up and we open the door. The master says nothing, and we put the jacket on, the hook, and go into the room. Nobody speaks. Avoid us. We can find a chair. We have to find a chair ourselves. This is how the Pharisee acted and behaved. How is it here at summer services? We have heard joyful greetings. We have met one another after many years. God's peace. God's peace. We have greeted with joy, see and talk to one another. The greeting has a significant meaning. Sometimes the words are not heard, but the sight, the view, the gaze, that I respect you. It is a joy to see you. It is a great joy to see many of my friends here. At this moment, there are many friends who have not been able to come here to the services, who listen to this radio or internet somewhere far away. Someone is in the bed, hospital bed, who cannot speak. Somewhere far away, someone remembers you and goes to visit you and greet the person to bring the greetings of God's peace. Jesus sent 12 disciples and said, when you go into a house, greet them with a greeting of peace. Shalom. Greet them with peace. And if they don't take the peace, it will return to you. I thought of this when I was here with many priest here giving the communion for all service guests, communion. And I said, let us remain in God's peace. Let us remain in God's peace. What a beautiful and containing so much, this greeting. Remain in God's peace. Sometimes a greeting can feel difficult in the midst of everyday life. There are strange peoples visiting. Sometimes we may mutter a greeting to someone, but nevertheless, we recognize the person. We don't have to be ashamed. Sometimes we can feel shame when we greet one another. What about, what if the friend doesn't greet you? It can be so that he doesn't notice you and walks on by. What if a person doesn't greet you on purpose? Does he act like the Pharisee in this story? What does it feel like if they don't say God's peace to you? The message tells us you are not kept as a believer. If some Christian decides, I will not greet that sister or brother because I think he or she is such a sinner. And if we say to another person, let's not greet that person, he acts like the Pharisee in this story. We must ask in a serious tone. Do we see into the heart of another person? Jesus saw, but do we? We must ask before God's word. Do we see our own condition? We have remember here that we should study the history of Christianity. It is good to remember all those good customs. It is good to learn where we have gone wrong and astray. What have started heresies in the stages of our Christianities from the beginning, in the beginning stages, every once in a while, there has been a 3-cubit measure of God that people try to be like God, a doctrine, this person-centered, that we as people are in the position of God. God shall protect us from this, let we pray. Simon the Pharisee had thought that the woman is a sinful person. In the middle of the story, there is a parable. A parable of two men who were debted to a creditor. One owed 500 and the other 50 denars. They had nothing to pay it back, so they were both forgiven and didn't have to pay him back. Both debtors were forgiven. They were shown grace. This Simon, the master of the house, was a debtor. He showed no love. How was this woman? All the time she showed her love. Love is an answer for a response for having grace. The woman had received all her sins forgiven, not only some sins, all her sins forgiven, but all her sins forgiven. She received much forgiven, and she loved much. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Today, dear service guests, have you received little or much forgiven? In the light of God's Word, how do we see ourselves, our situation? Doesn't it for me and you? Hasn't the Word been proclaimed in God's kingdom, God's congregation, all our sins forgiven? When we remember and reminisce how much I have been loved, how much I have been forgiven, don't we want to forgive our brothers and sisters their small transgressions forgiven? Transgressions and sins can be a great burden, heavy. We can ask and pray for forgiveness. Jesus did something very unusual. When he was eating a meal there as a guest, he started to complain or rebuke the master. He said, "Look at this woman. When I came into your home, you gave no water for the washing of my feet, but she washed my feet with tears and dried them with her hair. You did not greet me with a kiss, but she has kissed my feet from the time she came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Faith brought on the acts of love. Faith is seen how we relate with our near ones. The Pharisee was offended by the woman. He was offended. But even more, the Pharisee was offended by Jesus. The Pharisee is not the main character here, neither is the woman. But in the center of it all is Jesus Christ. He does not reject or throw away the weak and wounded person. He receives and shows mercy. Perhaps here at the services or someone who is listening has been rejected, and you have been told that you are not acceptable here at these services, or you are not acceptable because you are such and such. As people, we may say so. As people at home and in our families. I think of you, mothers and fathers, where families where there are several children. It is good. There are children that help and learn good things in our families to carry a responsibility. But at the same time, I think of those children, older sisters and brothers, children that help. The little ones needing a lap, that these older children also need a lap and love. All children, all ages and sizes, we all desire for love. As people, we may reject another person. In God's kingdom, with the King, the Lord Jesus, He does not reject. At these services, we have heard the good message, the joyous gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for you, when you feel, if you feel like you are this woman, so many times you have been looked at and rejected. The Lord Jesus does not look. He looks graciously, values you and respects you, and mercifully looks at you. This Gospel of Luke touches us. When Peter had denied Jesus three times before the cock crowed, the Gospel tells us that Jesus looked at Peter. We can just imagine how Jesus looked at Peter. Peter, who had denied him three times, full of grace and full of love. The Gospel tells us that Peter went out and wept bitterly. This woman in the house of the Pharisee said nothing, but the acts and deeds speak for all. We don't have to speak long, even though I have spoken long here. There in everyday life, those little acts of love to your friend or a near one, they have a great significance. Not only do we study the Word of God, the Word studies us. Christ looks at us in a gracious way today, at each one. If we are in the position of the Pharisee, in the hypocrisy, the Son of God looks. He looks at us with grace and calls us to partakers of His grace. And at the speaker's meeting, at the introduction, there was a question. Is it enough if we only preach of Christ? An old priest told us, kept a speaking turn. He said, "Where is Christ? There is His kingdom." That we would always preach the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. That we as sinful people, we cannot get comfort from anywhere else, from nowhere else. As I work in the hospital, I'm not going to tell you personal stories for the sake of secrecy, privacy, but I can say a person who is leaving is comforted. Only with the crucified Lord Jesus Christ. Not only the one who is leaving, but those who are here and who have many years left. You too. You believe and you will be comforted. You can believe even today that all your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. You can be of a comforted mind that the Lord Jesus Christ sees your problems and troubles. He sees all. That even Paul says to the Corinthians, I did not want to know about anything else except of Jesus Christ, only of the crucified Jesus Christ. There in the midst of the kingdom, as a servant of the word, we want to, that of nothing else, that of a crucified Lord Jesus Christ. Paul continues in another portion, we do not proclaim ourselves, but only of Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the Lord. Uplift your heart, listener, today, tonight, your heart to believe Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood, all your sins are forgiven. We can be secured, comforted in our journey. Bless one another. Bless each one with this gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ has suffered and died and risen for all of us. And in Him, He is the beginner and the ender of our faith, finisher of our faith. And as I end this sermon, may I remain believing. I want to believe together in this way with you. In Jesus' name, amen.